Hello and welcome to Easter Hack 21. It's 2024, just to confuse you. This is Regensburg. This is day one of Easter Hack 21. We are going to talk about flight. I mean, flight, we all know we shouldn't fly because it's bad for the environment, it's bad for the planet. But flying is fun, so there are alternatives to flying in real life or in physical space. You can fly in a simulation. There are flight simulators out there. There are flight simulators from commercial vendors who take a lot of money and a lot of your bandwidth to update your sceneries, and it's not the best option, maybe. So there are other options. There are open source options. One of the options is flight gear. So in this talk, Nia is going to talk about what flight gear is, sceneries, how it came together, what her role in that whole thing maybe is, and also what fun you can have with some physical additional tools to that flight simulator and how that might improve the experience. So please welcome with a very warm applause, Nia.
Thanks for the introduction. I'm Nia. I'm in the flight gear community since 2017, and in that time I've made one of the biggest scenery projects. We will hear about this later. What is flight gear? Flight gear is an open source flight simulator built by an enthusiastic community from around the globe. It's not only just a toy or a game. It's also used, for example, in simulators approved by the FAA, the Federal Aviation Authority in the US. So if you train there for your private pilot license, for example, you may be using flight gear for that. Also, another museum, the Bronco Museum in the USA, uses flight gear as a demonstration. And the Red Bull Air Racing team, if you know that, did use flight gear in the past to simulate their race courses before they built them in real life and try to fly them in real life. Let's take a first look at the history where flight gear is coming from. Flight gear is older than I am. Flight gear started in 1996 with the common route, which is still shared till this day, using OpenGL starting in 1997. In the beginning, it used NASA's LRC sim FDM, which was the default till 2000. The FDM is the flight dynamic model, so it describes how the model actually flies. The aircraft you see on the screen is just for aesthetics, doesn't matter. If it's a brick or a paper airplane, the FDM is how the plane actually flies. Another project which is closely related to flight gear is JSBSim, which is another FDM, which is also in development since 1996. And it's also not just used by flight gear, but also like by NASA and some universities for flight dynamic modeling. On the screen, you can see one of the last or the earliest surviving screenshots of flight gear. And to the left, the logo flight gear used to have on Windows 95. About 10 years later, in December 2007, the first the version 1.0 as the first stable release came out, and a few months later also a matching scenery version of a worldwide scenery. You can see a screenshot of that up on the screen. In 2008, we started to migrate away from PLIB, which was used for scenery rendering back then, to OSG. We still use parts of PLIB. We will hear about that again later. In 2010, version 2.0 was released, with OpenScene Graph being major. One of the highlights of this new version included new 3D clouds, vastly improved lighting conditions, improved support for custom scenery, and many, many new detailed aircraft models. In 2013, a new World Scenery 2.0 was released. Since 2016, Flight Gear uses a different versioning scheme, starting with the year of the major release. So right now we're still at the 2020.3 major release, since in the meantime there wasn't the one. With that, also default airports were selected for the releases. This is now my first big project in Flight Gear. After 1.5 years of work, I finally been able to release the OSM2City world build. OSM2City is a program which takes data from OpenStreetMap and creates Flight Gear scenery out of it. You can see a screenshot of Madrid in this view, where the most generic buildings are all coming from OpenStreetMap. And if I was a few months faster, or Microsoft was a few months slower with their Flight Simulator 2020, Flight Gear would actually have been the first flight simulator with global OpenStreetMap-based scenery. Also, if you contributed to OpenStreetMap before, you contributed to Flight Gear. Thank you very much. In 2022, I released a refresh, which also now included trees which got mapped by mappers in OpenStreetMap. That's the history so far. So where will the future take us? First of all, we're working on a new World Scenery 3.0. You can see a screenshot of a test version. It's a bit older now and has a few glitches, but it's coming together nicely, and it's one of the big things currently being worked on. Another big thing, yes, it's better to see on the Beamer. Another big thing is with the new scenery is, for example, night lighting. As you can see in this image, the street lights are all there. Also, another benefit is orthographic scenery, so like satellite images or aerial footage of aerial surveys can now easily be incorporated into the scenery without having memory issues. As with the currently used scenery, you run out of memory even if you have like 32 gigs and 16 gigs VRAM. And the last big thing we're currently working on is a new HDR pipeline, which also is accompanied by the move from the OpenGL compatibility profile to the OpenGL core profile. Here, one of the stones to get out of the way is the removal of PLIP. Yes, it wasn't used for rendering the scenery for a long time, but it still had its place for rendering menus and so on. So we have to get this out and replaced before we can fully move to core profile. And eventually, if the manpower allows it, we may also change to Vulkan, but that's to be seen, because it's also a lot of work. And like, those are just a bunch of struggles. Also, like, the new scenery is more detailed, which means it takes up more storage, which will cause more stress on the mirrors, which are currently all run by volunteers. And also, all the work is like limited by volunteer time, as we all do it just in our free time. I know a few people, including myself, who would love to work on flight gear as a job, but none of us have found a way to practically do this. If you know a way to get a job working on flight gear, please let me know. So now that we know what flight gear is and where it's headed, how do you get started yourself if you want to try it out? On Linux, just check your package manager. It's mostly available on the common distros. For macOS and Windows, you can go to flightgear.org/download. There are also app images for Linux distros which don't package flight gear. The alternative, which I will not go into here, it will be building from source. Right, so I've got a short demo video for you showing how you get started with flying in flight gear. Now we know the basic controls, so let's take this plane flying. Set the mouse mode to flight controls, release the parking brake, and press page up to increase the throttle. The plane has a tendency to move left, so use the right rudder using the enter key to counteract. At the speed of about 60 knots, gently pull the cursor down to take off. Congratulations, you're flying! From here on, the sky is the limit. Have fun! Well, that was a simple demo. Obviously, if you have a yoke or a joystick, it's highly recommended to use this instead of the mouse. But to just get started, the cursor is enough. So before we get into how to hack our own hardware, we gotta understand a bit about the simulator, how it's built up. The code is made out of three main repositories. ZimGear, it's a library for scenery related things. Canvas, which is like the drawing library for dialogues, the new ones, and also aircraft displays and like glass cockpits and Airbus and such. FlightGear is the main simulator code base. And then there's FGData, which contains basic assets, things such as shaders, textures, and also protocol files, which we will hear in a second. A few more noteworthy repositories are FG add-on, which contain the aircraft you've seen you can download in the launcher. FG meter contains build scripts for you to easily build flight gear on your Linux from source, for example. An open scene graph, as we heard, is a dependency for drawing the scenery, and for some things, if you want to hack on that, it's good to know where to find things. So when we want to interface with FlightGear, we need to know where the data is. FlightGear stores most of its data at runtime in a property tree, which, as the name suggests, is a tree-like structure containing different properties. For example, for the FDM, whether position and velocities view your aircraft you're interested in. If you need like custom things, you can also write those from your scripts or definitions to the property tree, and much more. You can inspect these via the property tree browser in the simulator, pressing the / keyboard shortcut, or inspected via the web interface. So if you wanna like link something on your hardware, for example, and need to know which property it is, you would search in the property tree for that. Or the other way around, you look at the aircraft you're interested in and see where the control is coming from. So how do we access the data? Yes, Telnet is still an option. But we don't talk about this here. There are user-defined protocols for network and also the serial console, where you define, for example, a comma-separated list of values, which are just get read from a network port or a serial port, which makes it rather easy to code for it, as you can just netcat values to this port and are up and running. Then, of course, USB is another option, but a bit more intricate to implement if you're creating your own hardware, as you need to write the USB human interface device firmware for it. The last option to interface with the property tree is via HTTP and WebSockets, where you can open up a web an HTTP port on the simulator and access the property tree and manipulate it via that. So if you need help along the way, there are a few ways to get that. On the forum, there's more the scenery people and aircraft developers. There's a mailing list, which is mainly used by the core developers who developed the main simulator. There's still an IRC around, and we try to get people to chat more on Matrix. Let's talk about my own PCB design. I've started out this year with the desire to build my own first PCB. I had absolutely zero experience, and I had to learn the very basics. I started out with a simple idea. I wanted to build a very simple panel resembling of the A320. It controls the lighting of some elements in the cockpit. So with that said, I also wanted it to be very plug and play. So anything where I have to like add protocol files, especially if you consider it having it compatible with other simulators which interface differently, makes something like a serial console rather tricky. Which is why I decided on using the USB HID, human interface device, connection for it. And I also went full out and designed this around an STM32 chip instead of using a dev board or something, because, I don't know, I was motivated. So you see on the screen the schematic of my PCB. And on the bottom right, a layout of the PCB showing two potentiometers for the brightness controls, as well as the STM32 and all the things which needs to support it. Additionally, I also have integrated lighting, which gives a nice feedback loop. Building this, I faced a few issues because, well, I'm new to this. And I forgot a bunch of things, overlooked things, needed a lot of hardware hackery to even get it to the point how I'm about to present it to you in a few minutes. And, well, the biggest obstacle right now to me is actually the firmware. While I was waiting for the PCB to arrive, I tested some things out with an ESP32 I had lying around. It can't do USB HID, but it could do serial, so I tried that. And that was also rather quick to implement on my PCB once it arrived, and I assembled it and debugged all the hardware issues. But getting it to work on like the HID protocol, I'm still working on that, and it probably will still be a journey till I have the PCB in the shape I wanted to, but like eventually in my mind I want to build more of an A320 cockpit, because I do enjoy doing this. Yes. So let's show you how this PCB works. I hope it's visible on screen. Yes. So as you can see, I can control with my own PCB on the knob the brightness of the integrated lighting. Right now, as you can also see, the knob isn't really calibrated, so I have dead zones at both ends, and it's also flickering because I have an integer overflow somewhere in my code. And the LEDs aren't actually on the PCB aren't actually controlled via the simulator yet, so those could be on while the simulator says no, those parts don't even have electricity because nothing is running. That's also still a thing I need to implement. So, finally, I want to look at some projects from the community around flight gear. First of all, this is a project from 2008, before like widescreen displays were common. Flight gear has a neat way to set up different views for different monitors and so on. So this is actually run off of one single computer with four FireGL 5600 GPUs. And that was back in 2008 by Matthew Tippett. Then the next project I want to show you is one which is currently active by Matthias Sayer. He uses a Raspberry Pi Pico and started using 3D printer parts to build altimeter, vertical speed indicator, and compass, as you can see here. To complete six-pack, he's currently working on the artificial horizon. I haven't seen an update in the last few days, but that's how the status, and actually people on the forum asked if he would sell this. But unfortunately, as it is right now, selling something like this in low volume is just not feasible, even if people would like to offer something for those who can't just build electronic things themselves. Then there's probably my favorite project of them all. This one is from 2010 by Jenna and Wayne. They built a collimated mirror. So what is that? When you are on a big screen like this and look straight down the runway, but you have a co-pilot who sits like 3 meters to the side, he doesn't look straight down the runway anymore. A collimated mirror solves this problem by some intricate optics and mirrors. So on the top left, you see the spider, how it's called, where the beamers are mounted. The projection screen is actually missing in this picture. And on the right image, you see the mirror, how it's in its proper shape. It's so wrinkly in the left picture because to have the proper shape, you can't just tape some reflected reflective material to some wood or something, because you wouldn't really get a mirror. How they've done it and how it's also done in the expensive professional simulators where airline pilots train is using vacuum with a regulator which pulls the thin material in the desired shape. Right. I'm actually way too fast, I am realizing. So I'm actually already through. I don't know. I didn't expect to be this fast. But thanks for listening. And well, if you have questions later on, you can find me here.
Thank you. And as you noticed, we have time for question and answers. So if you have a question, please raise one of your tentacles, arms, hands, make yourself noticeable, and we'll come to you with a microphone so we get the question for the screen. Any questions? Don't be shy, we have time. German questions as well?
Yes.
If in doubt? Hey, was it good? Yeah.
If I would decide to.
Oh, good question. I would say it depends on the plane or aircraft in general. Like, if you fly like a gentle aircraft, especially like something like an A320, it's actually rather stable because it got all the control systems simulated, so you have fly-by-wire, which holds the aircraft steady for you. I would say if you really like do it once an evening for a week or two, you could land it. It may not be the perfect landing, but like no more crashing. But like if you go into like more intricate propeller aircraft where you got forces like the P factor to account for, which is also what you seen in the demo, which turns the aircraft to the left, that's the P factor, then it takes a bit more time. And helicopter, I wouldn't recommend you trying that without actually having a stick and rudder pedals, and for that you probably need a few months before you can land that. So yes, also flight gear has a space shuttle, but that's more like a topic of reading the documentation, because you need the NASA documentation to fly it.
And it flies like a brick.
Yes, it's a brick shuttle.
Further questions? Over there? One? Don't be shy. I saw a second hand before. And we're working on the light, so hopefully the next talk, the slides will be better visible. There's too much light at the lower half, so. But it's good in the stream. So if you want to see the whole picture, watch the stream afterwards again. It's all there. Further questions? Last chance. Yes. Wait. We want it for the stream.
What programming languages are used?
Flight gear itself is written in C++, and the flight dynamics models are defined in XML, and flight gear itself uses a scripting language called Nazel, which is used in a lot of add-ons, scripting the aircraft systems and so on. Yes.
Further questions? Keep them coming. It's a
broad topic. How big is the user community and the developer community around the flight sim?
The user community, that's a tough question. Looking at the downloads for the release builds, it's a few thousand a month. So actually not insignificant. Developers, again, it depends on the topic. Core developers, maybe 10 or so, who actually work on core code like shaders and the simulator code and so on. But there are a lot of developers around aircraft who like either focus on like a more broad range of aircraft they're developing on, or people go into very detail, like with the A320 or the MD-11, modeling every single detail of it, and that takes years. And so there are a lot of people involved into aircraft development, and of course there's also scenery development and so on. I can't give you a precise number for that, but yeah, probably at least a few dozen in those areas.
How do they get all that information to model all the details? Is that publicly available, or do they just go on flights and take photos of everything or something?
Good question, and it really depends. Like, I've heard a story of some developer of a small Italian aircraft, single-seat sport aircraft, if I remember correctly. And he contacted the company and they were actually kind enough to invite him and show him the factory and so on. And for some aircraft, there are also like spec sheets available, while for other aircraft, it's really just digging the internet or like going to places, take photos, model it after that. That's like for the modeling and then also like for the flight dynamics model. For some aircraft, there are actually wind tunnel information available, which is like the best case because you can like really precisely tune your flight dynamics model to follow what the wind tunnel data says. Other sources is, of course, like also anecdotal things, like, for example, with the A320, the landing lights fold out of the wings, increasing the drag, and according to pilots who fly this aircraft, the sink rate increases by about 200 feet per minute if you do that. So the person who developed the A320 flight dynamics model actually went in and replicated this by tuning the flight dynamics model to match those reports. And yeah, it's just depends on which data is available, if it's actually available or if it's hard to find for, I guess, military aircraft or also like newer Airbus aircraft like A350. You barely find any manuals about cockpit systems, for example.
What about Boeing? Can you simulate a Boeing without a door?
Well, as far as I know, they don't have this exact damage model. Maybe I should ask the developers for that. But yes, you could obviously make it lose doors, or crash, or lose tires, whatever you like of the Boeing feature set.
Whatever happens next week, yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Further questions? As you can see, you can ask any question, even you will be around, right?
Yes, I will be around.
Send her off with a very warm round of applause. Nia, everybody!